Intervju Radija Študent.
Zdrav v današnjem terminu za Ereš intervju. Z nami sta Jan Werner in Andi Toma, sicer duet znam kot Mouse on Mars. Nastopi pa danes večer v kino Šiška kot otvoritev v festival pomladi, ki se bo dogajal tja, mislim, da do konca maja. So, hello guys.
Hey.
You played in Ljubljana before?
Yeah.
Do you remember the last time you were here maybe?
Yeah, of course we remember.
When was this?
No, we don't know the time, but we just know the situation.
It was something in particular that you remember about the time? Or?
I think, was it here when we were at the river?
And then yeah,
was
the bikes.
Our gallery.
Yeah,
we got some bikes, bicycles.
What sort of bicycle? This was part of the show or?
No, there was the off day.
Part of the off day, yeah.
We were just cycling around Ljubljana, up the hill and just everywhere. It was really nice and the show was kind of crazy, I remember, because we had set up our stuff on stage and then during the evening there were more and more people on stage.
You played outside or
no, it was inside but just around us were more and more people, like friends of DJs and girlfriends of DJs, and everyone was dropping their bag.
You know, today you're opening the Spring Festival, as announced in the beginning, and you're playing in a quite large concert hall. So, you know, do you think that, because in the past, in this Spring Festival, there were some bands that were playing outside, even electronica. So, do you think your music sort of fits better in some club context, or does it work outdoors as well?
I think it works everywhere. It's music. Music I think it's free. It doesn't need... especially like, I mean, if it's live music and because you can react. So I think when the people are there and I mean, if the people want to hear what we do, then it will work. I'm sure it doesn't matter if it's outside or inside or small or big.
Right.
Yeah.
Because in this venue, maybe a couple of weeks ago, Oteker played. And I was quite surprised to see because big audience turned up because usually this... not so mainstream electronica doesn't get this big audience. So what, in your opinion, sets this popularity when it comes to this kind of electronic music? Ideally, it should be music, probably, but, you know, maybe a month before Oteker, there were Pansonic playing, and it was maybe 80 people. When Oteker played, there were 400, probably.
Yeah, I wish it would be the other way around, audience-wise.
For the Pansonic, big that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what about tonight?
We'll see. Maybe a compromise between the two. I think Oteker have a big name because they sum up a lot of aspects of electronic music in a way. They're like kind of a consensus band, whereas like Pansonic, they're more extreme. They're like, they do what they do in their way.
But I think they're very comparable between the two, as far as their history go and sound development and so.
Yeah, but I think Pansonic, they are in their own way more radical. I think Oteker, they're kind of really like a consensus band, you know, like over the times you see bands come and go and some names stay, and Oteker have a very strong name. I mean, already like the name with this techno inside and the kind of, there's a certain mysticism about them. I don't think it's the music that makes the people
the
come.
Difference.
I think it's really the myth around a group that makes the people show up.
Do you maybe think that it may have something to do with the whole IDM scene that was around Warp? Because that was probably quite popular.
Yeah, Warp is a big label and still is a big name. And Warp Act already has a different standing, let's say. But I mean, if you don't have a hit, if you don't have a song that is played in the radio and you're kind of a band that just makes what they make, then there are a lot of aspects about that. Like, it's very diverse, and within that field you have to try to find a, let's say, like, no, you don't have to try anything, you just do what you do, but in a certain way certain bands have become a consensus band. That's what I mean, you know, like people from different areas agree on, okay, these, you can't listen to everything, but if you listen to this band then you get it all, you know. And I think Ortega at a point there. I don't know.
Where in this context does Mouse on Mars fit? I imagine you, I mean, I have a this idea about Mouse on Mars that you are quite sort of loners. You don't, I don't associate with any particular scene. Is that so? Or
I think we're a consensus band as well, in a way that we are not even only for electronic music listeners. We make electronic music for sure. Most of the elements are electronically produced. But I think we're kind of like in a certain way, like a meta music band, because we have people who like pop music, and there are people who like jazz music who like Mouse on Mars, and of course electronic music fans, but people who like extreme music or playful music. And so we pick our audience from lots of different scenes, and in the end it's kind of a group is coming together, and we have a good audience usually. But it's not because we're exactly working for a specific genre. I think that's right. It we're like, I think you need a certain kind of curiosity and open-mindedness to appreciate what we do. I think.
And this was always like this since the beginning, or were you maybe more specifically oriented at first in the more club-oriented music or so?
I think at the beginning was even worse, because people had no idea what Mouse on Mars was. They thought it could be purely electronic, like a studio project, and then we played live and people thought, oh, it's a band that sounds very electronical, but it's a real band. And we've always changed our appearance, and the label we've been with at the beginning, Too Pure, a label from London, they had a very diverse roster of bands and groups, and I think that helped a lot to make people understand that there's a new era of music starting. A band doesn't have to look exactly like a band anymore. But also electronic music does not only be huge synthesizers and a laser show, and dance music does not only have to be a DJ and a record, you know, DJ with headphones on a stage. And we were kind of like breaking all these cliches a little bit, not really intentionally, but just we just did it this way. But in a way it was more complicated at the beginning. We were constantly asked, so what exactly is it that you're doing there, and don't you think it's not enough techno, it's not enough independent music, it's not enough electronica, it's not poppy enough, it's not extreme enough, it's not experimental enough, kind of like this. And now it's much better. People think, yeah, great, keep on doing this, and be even more extreme. It's good, we need this, and everything is so stereo, like so filed and stereotypical, and just keep on doing it. But I think there are a lot of interesting bands, and I think music has really changed over the past 20 years. It's much more diverse and open. I think it's good.
You mentioned a label from London. You then changed a few more labels. So maybe I'm interested, why this decision? Do you think that when you are staying with some particular label for a certain time, that people start making these preconceptions about what you make or who you are, you know, music-wise? Because there's this big, like from Warp, you always get put in the same bag.
I think we were lucky that we were not working with Warp ever, because that way we were much more free. We didn't change too many labels, actually. We've been quite constantly working with maybe a handful of labels worldwide, and it's not too much. We've been with Thrill Jockey in America, which is kind of like a post-rock, experimental, whatever kind of rock, indie rock label, and with a certain affiliation with electronic music, and we were kind of a bridge there. And And then we've, yeah, because Tupure does not really exist anymore, so at some point we just had to
change.
Mm-hmm. And then we worked with Domino in the UK, which was kind of like the follow-up to Tupure in a way.
Mm-hmm. And what was the reason for trying these different labels out?
If you release your music worldwide, now maybe it's a different situation, but 10 years ago you would try to find different partners for different territories, and mm-hmm. that was the reason to have like Thrill Jockey for the US and to have JVC or Takuma for Japan and have like Rough Trade for Germany and like this way.
Right. Yeah. So we talked about a bit about how your perception of the past and now. So I'm interested, was it easier to be noticed back then in the beginning because there wasn't so much maybe this kind of music, or is it easier nowadays because you have sort of become popular and so?
For us, it's the story is just continuing. Things change. I mean, today you have, I don't know, thousands of YouTube clips of like whatever, a concert or an interview or a video you made, and I don't know, people all over the world can at least get an idea of how you sound like when you play live, or what your thoughts are. They can watch an interview, and I mean that's a completely different situation. You don't need this big promotional machine anymore, mm-hmm. and you needed this at the beginning to get your ideas out. Huh? Mm-hmm. And
but don't you think that maybe nowadays there's so much music that you know, it's harder for audience to follow all the stuff that happens, because it used to be, I don't know, IDM, techno music, so you follow specific music, but nowadays it's just all over the place, so maybe it's harder for audience. How do you find new music nowadays?
I mean, first I think it's great that there's such an anarchy. It's perfect.
You prefer chaos to organization, or...?
The tension between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think humans are tempted to think organization is the most important, and that's what you really have to achieve. So sometimes you have to create a little bit of chaos again to back up the organization.
Right.
I think it's good that it's so anarchic and that people mix whatever and find things. What we're missing a bit is the idea of an album, of a record. We always liked to produce albums, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you would sit there and probably listen to a whole album for like 45 to 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And these days it's tracks.
Right.
But a track can be like an album. A track can have a whole story. In like 4 minutes you can do so much in a track.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now is an amazing time again for electronic music. There's so many producers doing like wobbly bass stuff and like weird kind of odd wonky beats and squee electro stuff, and it's great.
Did you hear the new Gonja Sufi?
Yes, but that's warp again, no?
Yeah, it's warp, but you know, maybe it's the LA scene. You mentioned wonky, so maybe it fits sort of in there.
Do you know Semayam? It's a hip-hop producer.
No.
We think he's like maybe he's a bit affiliated to this Flying Lotus kind of.
Because Gonja Sufi, Flying Lotus produced some of the tracks for Sufi as well.
I don't really like the singing of this Sufi guy. It's a bit too pretentious for me.
That's the part I like the most.
Yeah? I find it a bit like acting.
Uh-huh.
As if he would act, you know?
Right.
But not sure. I mean, maybe we're just too much into music and not so much
If you go back a bit to Mouse on Mars.
I didn't want to hurt your feelings, I'm sorry.
Oh, you didn't?
Okay.
So you're considered to be quite a big influence for quite a few German bands. So what's your perception of electronic music scene in Germany? Because from my perspective, there's like stuff going on around the Raster Noton label, and then you have, more experimental stuff going on in Berlin, where it's mixed with improvisation music. But I don't see, it's always sort of closed circles, you know, it's quite fragmented, if you put it like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if any of these groups you mentioned these days are still acting as local units. I think all of them work internationally, and that's what we also do and always did. And we've never been so interested in like a purely German or national idea of art or music. Mm-hmm. And sure, there are things which you cannot deny, things of like your culture or heritage, or I don't know, how you've been brought up, or the language around you, and like certain attitudes, behavior that kind of is reflected in your work, but that's not the goal. We don't want to kind of support any nationalistic idea of music or mm-hmm. art.
But music-wise, do you find yourself to be closer to, I don't know, synth pioneers from Germany or to this, let's say, IDM scene around Warp? Because you were often tagged IDM mm. as well, so... Because to me, in your music, there's clear reference to older German electronic music. Mm. So is that intentional or...?
No, actually not really. I mean, what there has been a... After the Second World War, there was a big urge to really start with something completely new. So in the 50s and 60s, there has been an incredible, let's say, cultural revolution. Mm-hmm. And people really try to free themselves from the rigidness and hierarchy that has been leading to this catastrophe. That was the 40s, or like, yeah, 30s to the 40s. And I think we draw from that for sure. So mm-hmm. yes, there's certainly a link to this. There's a strong emphasis on culture, experimentation and all that, and I think we draw a lot from that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not a specific school that we would refer to. I mean, we surely like things that Kraftwerk have made, or Can, or Neu, mm-hmm. Or whatever, like Schulze, or Aschott Temple, or Harmonia, all that stuff, sure. Mm-hmm. But there's been so much more, and there's been like yeah. Stockhausen and Kain, and like right. and there has been lots of new music things and very academic weird experiments. Mm-hmm. But then if you go from there, then you see there are links to other areas in Italy or in the Netherlands, where there has been again a different definition of this new start and electroacoustic music in France, and then the kind of and when you look at this whole development from a European point of view, you see that in different countries there were kind of similar mm-hmm. things going on, but right. kind of with a slight diversity in there. And there has been even something like krautrock in France, and it was kind of more spacey and kind mm-hmm. of more synthetic and a bit more stylish, you know.
Right.
And the Germans were maybe a bit more like farmers with instruments or something. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the Dutch again, there has been an amazing musical diversity there with great bands and mm-hmm. great composers.
So all this stuff you mentioned, this is more the avant-garde side of music, but there were for me an interesting scene in Germany turned up with the new wave somewhere in the early 80s and then on. Mm-hmm. There were lots of bands that I find similar aesthetics to what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, they were combining acoustic instruments and electronics mm-hmm. and so. So how exposed was this scene back then, you know, in the 80s, or was it more of a focus on the Kraftwerk and krautrockers and so, or?
No, in the 80s there was a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, there were weird records by Asmus Tietjens, and then there was Pally Schaumburg and Holger Hiller. And this was really music that we were listening, or I was listening to. Mm-hmm. And Andreas Dorau, kind of a weird humor without like a pointy, you know, not like a jokey humor, but kind of a complete different view on things, a dadaistic right. approach mm-hmm. on pop music maybe.
Right.
And sure, yeah, there was a lot to draw from there.
Mm-hmm. So this is really interesting topic, and I would love to talk about it, but we are a bit short on time, so maybe a few more questions. I read that you're planning on releasing a new album this year, is this so? Can you tell us a bit about it?
It must be more.
Oh, I'm so sleepy. Yeah, we are hoping to release this year, but it might take till beginning next year.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, we completely moved together, like in one city. We are based in Berlin now, so we have more time to
mm-hmm.
to work in to finish the. I mean, it's kind of half finished, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we can expect it next year probably.
Yeah, we hurry up now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll try to make a single this year, like something mm-hmm. that already nice. Is released and mm-hmm. kind of warms up.
The promoter of the gig tonight said that we may hear probably some of the new material, is that so?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
mainly.
Yeah.
Mainly.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what, like, versions, like parts of the new material.
Yeah, we try bits and pieces and try different, like, settings of instruments and patches and sounds and tracks, arrangements, all mm-hmm. this. And
it's actually nice, like, before finishing the album, already, like, play around with the parts. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't release like
so
quite
you
a long
do this
time
with software. You play with sequences or so, or mm-hmm. do we include mm-hmm. live instrumentation? Mm-hmm. Or
yeah, I mean, but boxes. I mean, it's really
analog,
mostly electronic stuff, analog and digital, and we have like tools and microphones and things and little gadgets which are hard to explain. But not guitars and drums tonight. It's all electronic, but it's live enough. Now the problem is when we play this material live, we kind of forget to make the record because it's already, we have new stuff and then it's changing and each concert is changing and we don't really, we've never been, we always had a problem with making records because it's fixing the state of a song, you know, and, mm-hmm. and if you play live a lot, it's continuously changing and turning into something new,
right.
which is really nice. You know?
Mm-hmm. So maybe one more question. Another preconception about electronic music that, you know, doesn't follow the 4-4 rhythm strictly is that it's meant to be listened to, not danced to. So does it happen sometimes that people just stand there, you know?
Stand there?
Yeah, just they don't dance, they just stand there.
Oh, yeah, sure. But
and you're okay with that?
Yeah,
or?
People should do what they want. Some like to shout, some like to dance, some like to sleep, and some like to listen. And you never know, I mean, the brain is strange and you don't know what's happening with the brain when you dance. Maybe maybe your brain is even less active when you dance, and sometimes when you stand your brain is going weird ways and you have whirls inside your head and everything is moving but your body is stand still. You should do what you feel like. I don't know, I mean, we
mm-hmm.
don't exclude any
right.
body parts, you know.
Right. So unfortunately we ran out of time, so maybe just one more question. Do you have something special planned for tonight, or maybe just an invitation?
Hmm?
Special plan for tonight? I think we're gonna...
Do you feel like doing something spontaneous sometimes? You know,
it happens quite a lot, but we don't think about before
mm-hmm.
it's
just happens.
Yeah, quite a lot of times it happens that
mm-hmm.
something.
Okay, so thank you for the interview.
Maybe I'll buy the underpants which I bought in Milano. We just were in Milano. This is the fashion capital of the world.
That might affect the music.
Yeah, it's a surprise. I mean,
excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you for stopping by and saying nice things.
Yeah, thanks for
Torej, hvala za pozornost. To sta bila torej Maso in Mars, ki jih danes večer lahko vidite v Kino Šiški. Intervju sem pripravil Goran. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radia Študent.